there's two portions of scripture that give basically the same thing. The one is a historical account in the gospel, and the other is the record of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul teaches us that we should come to the Lord's table with reverence, and it should be that we understand that we do this in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, the scripture reads, starting with verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. The instructions that are given here are important for us in the fact that they are instructions that the Lord Jesus gave concerning his table. On the front of our table, you'll see, This do in remembrance of me. When we come to break the bread and to partake of the fruit of the vine, we're here to remember Jesus. And let me remind you that the church has been exhorted to do this, and as often as we do it in remembrance of the Lord. I think it's imperative that we understand that the early church partook of the Lord's table every time they met. And every time that we at Peachtree Baptist Church meet, we don't always have the Lord's table, but we have it quite often because we believe it's central to our staying focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. You do understand, we do this in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not real careful, we'll get caught up in everything besides the gospel and Jesus Christ when we come to the house of God and we come together to worship. Let me share with you that as we look at this portion of scriptures, we see in there that the emphasis is upon this do in remembrance of me. So we see here that the Lord's Supper was introduced by the Lord Jesus himself when he had his disciples with him and they were celebrating the Passover. He introduced the covenant, a new covenant. A covenant is a testament, or a testament is a covenant. We have the Old Covenant in the Old Testament where they brought in the bulls and goats and all kinds of sacrifices and slay them. The Bible says with without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. So the old covenant was looking to the cross. We now are under the new covenant. We're in the church dispensation, and we look back to the cross. And let me say there is a difference. For when Jesus died upon the cross, his last words, he cried, "Tetelestai," "Tetelestai," which means it is finished. The redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ has been accomplished. It's paid in full. Amen. Jesus is not trying to save people. He saves people. And he works through his sovereign purposes to bring those that he has chosen unto himself in repentance and faith. And we believe in a free offer of the gospel. Whosoever will, let him come. But let us understand that we need the full grace of God to make a man alive unto God in saving grace and regenerating grace. Notice, if you will, two things in the study today. We will look at, number one, the Lord's Supper itself. We'll look at the elements and we'll look at the significance of them. And then we'll look at the New Covenant, the New Testament. That's a part of this portion of Scripture. And in my studies, I've always preached and taught the Lord's table as preaching the gospel. We have two church ordinances. One is baptism, and the other is the Lord's Supper. It's interesting that both preach the gospel. Believe it or not, when we partake of the Lord's table this morning, we're doing it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it preaches. It preaches. To those of us that are saved, it tells us the most important thing in all our lives is Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and yea, we would add his ascension into heaven as our eternal high priest at the right hand of the Father. I go on to point out to you that we also understand that when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and lost people come into the service and see us partake of the Lord's table, we should leave them with the clear thinking in their own mind that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Christ Jesus came into this world and died to save sinners. Let me share with you concerning what we're to remember in the Lord's Supper. It's important that we see that there are elements. There is the broken bread. It was unleavened bread. That means it had no yeast in it. And yeast is always a symbol in the Scriptures of sin. So Jesus Christ's broken body was sinless. He was without sin. And therefore, he was qualified, being the last Adam, to be a substitute and die the substitutionary death for us, that we not have to die for our sins. Let me share with you, we have death on our trail. Men will die physically, which tells us that the Bible goes on further and says you're going to die spiritually. The important thing is that you understand there is an eternal death, the second death, which is a separation from God in hell forever. Why do men go to hell? Unbelief. Why do men go to hell? They reject the person of Jesus Christ. You reject Christ, you will perish. You receive Christ, he can save you from your sin. You see, the Bible tells us that Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, we all fell in Adam. And we all became sinners. We see the teaching in theology that it was that Adam was a federal head. And you say, what does that mean? That means that he represented us all, though we were not even born. When we were born in time, we received our sin nature from Adam. Amen. But this is a good thing. You say, what do you mean it's a good thing? Sin is always a bad thing. You're right. But you know what's good about the thing? The federal head, Jesus Christ, could die once for all, and we could all be saved. What a blessing it is to understand that the whole program of the death of Jesus Christ was the eternal purpose of God. I mean, Jesus didn't come into this world and things got out of control and somehow God said, oh no, they've crucified Jesus, I'll just raise him from the dead. That is not the gospel. Jesus said in John chapter 10, no man taketh my life, I lay it down of myself. He said, I am the one that surrenders my life to be a bloody sacrifice for the sins of those that repent and believe upon me. It's an interesting thing as we search it on through. He said, not only do I lay down my life, but he said, I have power to take it again. He's saying, I have the power to get up from the dead. We find in the scriptures that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. We find in the scriptures that Jesus raised himself from the dead. Amen. And what's interesting is the Bible says the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. So the triune God was working out his eternal purposes, our salvation. The Lord's Supper has two elements, unleavened bread. And when we talk about unleavened bread, it always speaks of God's incarnation. You see, all of us were born of Adam, but Jesus was born miraculously by the Virgin Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit. What a glorious thing, a marvelous, miraculous birth. You and I could die for our children, we could die for loved ones, but we could never atone for them. And let me just say this to you. It's all because we all have a sin nature, and we have to take care of our own sin by fleeing to Jesus Christ, who alone can save sinners. But also it leaves it so that we as individuals, when we come and we partake of the Lord's table, that all of us here are reminded that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And he was a God-man. When we say he was God and he was man, we're actually saying if he's God, he cannot sin. Amen. God cannot sin. And as God, Jesus Christ could not sin. As man, he had no sin nature, for he was not born of the first Adam, but he became the last Adam, in that he died upon the cross of Calvary as a perfect Lamb of God without sin. He could die the substitutionary death to pay our sin debt. We either pay our own sin debt and perish separated from God in eternity forever, or we embrace Jesus Christ, the only one that can save us from our sins. And so the body of Jesus Christ is seen in the unleavened bread. Further, we see in the study the fruit of the vine. Now, I would point out to you not only the incarnation, but the impeccability. He could not sin. He was a perfect Lamb of God. Your mama may love you, but she can't die for you because she's a sinner. Your daddy may love you, but he can't die for you to save you because he's a sinner. But here is the glorious thing. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself flesh, and hear it well, God established a new testament, a new covenant in our relationship with him. Then we come to the fruit of the vine, and we believe it was grape juice. And it's interesting that the Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I remind you that it took the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and goats through the years. Gallons and gallons and barrels of blood was shed. But there still was not a complete taking away. It was an old covenant. All it did was covered it till the next year when they would have their day of atonement. But I want to share with you, when Jesus Christ hanged on the cross, he paid it all. He paid the Old Testament saints' sin. Hallelujah. It was freely given. And God didn't look down through time and see something in you that says, man, you're just such a sweet person, I want to save you. If we got our just deserts, everyone in this room, including this speaker, would go to hell. The only hope we have is Jesus Christ and his shed blood. So I go on and point out to you, without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. In Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8 tells us that Jesus Christ came into the world and took upon himself. And when we didn't even know there was a Savior, a need for salvation, Jesus died for us upon the cross of Calvary. I want to say hallelujah for such a Savior that has come to take away our sins. Now a word about the New Testament covenant. Let me remind you that he said it was in my blood in verse 25. He also says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament. In my blood, this do ye in do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. When we come here today, we see the perfection of Jesus Christ, and we see his laying down his life for us. His blood was shed, but no man took him. He laid himself down. You don't crucify God. Men that came into the garden all fell backwards. It's amazing. He reaches out, Peter does, in defense of the Lord Jesus, and he takes the ear off of Caiaphas. And what you have there is Jesus reaching down, taking that ear and healing that man, putting his ear back on his face, and says to Peter, this is not how I establish my kingdom. It's not with flesh and blood. He said, but it's by the cross of Calvary. I must lay down my life. Praise God. I want to say this to you, that what we see here is the new covenant was Jesus paying for all our sins and all the Old Testament saints' sins. Romans chapter 3. Now, I want to point out to you that the resurrection is implicit in this study. You say, I see there the bread and I see there the blood that was shed, but what about the resurrection? Do you know when Jesus introduced the Lord's Supper, he introduced it at Passover, and the Bible said, and he bowed his head and gave thanks. Now you got to understand, he was thanking God for his dying. He was thanking the Father for the privilege to shed his blood for you and me. That's called everlasting love, folk. It's a great day in our lives when we understand that God loves us with an everlasting love. It's not what we deserve, it's what he does for us. And let me say this to you, not anything you can do will save you. You can go to Mass, you can try to appropriate grace through the priest sacrifices as he makes actually the Lord's table into the literal blood and literal body of Jesus, which the Bible does not teach. This is a memorial. We don't hold a transubstantiation. We believe that Jesus Christ left us behind an example of our coming as we would see a memorial to his death. You do this in remembrance of Christ. And then I go on to point out to you that always I have pointed out the death of Christ, his perfect body, his shed blood and what have you, but the resurrection is also understood. When Jesus said, even to those when he was hanging on the cross that were crucifying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But he knew what they were doing. And he also knew what he was going to do, and that was lay down his life that he could take it again, get up from the dead. And Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 says, and Jesus was delivered up for our offenses or our sins, and he was raised again for our justification. I sent out an Easter message to our missionaries, and when I sent it out, I made a statement in there. His resurrection proves that his believers are justified. Thanks be to God that we have been saved. Our sins are forgiven, and Jesus paid it all.